House come to order. The members please register their presence by voting. Any member failed to register their presence. Clerk may take the quorum.
Thirty-five present, five absent.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, Representatives Buckle, Guy, Itta, Kelly, Naughton are excused from the call today, and Representative Byrne is excused from the call from 10:30 a.m. on. I'll move that any absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
No objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Rode be excused from the call on Tuesday, February 24th, through plain time on Wednesday, the 25th.
There is no objection. Please rise. Mr. Urien. Hearing no objection, Mr. Urien will be excused on Monday. Please rise for prayer by Reverend Milton Hunt, Resurrection Lutheran Church.
Thanks be to thee for the gifts of energy and talents and the opportunities of time and service. Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings with thy most gracious favor, and further us with thy continued help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in thee, we may glorify thy holy name, and finally by thy mercy, obtain everlasting life through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen.
Mr. Swanson. Hearing no objection, so ordered. Would the clerk certify to the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 39th day.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I move that this body approve the journal as certified by the chief clerk for the 39th day.
There are no objections, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, following the introduction of guests, it will be my intention to move for recess due to a Democratic caucus. I just mentioned this time in case anybody else has anything that needs to come before the body before that time.
Mr. Speckman. Very well. Brings us to introduction of guests. Mr. Haugen.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, sitting with my wife in Gallery B are a couple of very distinguished Alaskans, our constituents from Fairbanks. They're authors, they're longtime livers in the north. They're known from the Colville River to Ketchikan, Bud and Martha Helmrichs.
Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A is old friend of mine from Anchorage, a gentleman who spends a good bit of his spare time and then some with his involvement with the Civil Air Patrol. And I think you have to explain to anyone here the benefits that the Civil Air Patrol has brought to the people in this state. But it's interesting to note that out of 51 lives saved across the nation by the Civil Air Patrol last year, the Alaskan groups had 24 saves. He's the wing commander of the Civil Air Patrol, Andy Anderson.
Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A is a friend of mine and a woman whose work I admire. She is a teacher in the Anchorage School District. She is presently working on a project to develop slide and tape shows for 7th and 8th grade students on Alaskan women at work. She's here in Juneau working on those shows. Her name is Sandra Wicks.
Any other guests for introduction? Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move that this body stand in recess for purposes of a Democratic caucus to the call of both caucuses to the call of the chair.
House is in recess to the call of the chair. House come to order. Clerk have messages from the governor. Mr. Specking.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor for an introduction?
You may have the floor. Mr. Haugen. You may have the floor. Mr. Cotton. Representative Rudd.
May I add to the introduction
of
Sheila Gallagher? She is a distinguished person. She's a former borough attorney in Anchorage, also attorney for the Anchorage Borough School District. She's now working, in addition to being on the Boundary Commission, with the criminal code revision.
Mr. Hirschberger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have two items to bring before the body, Sherry and Kathy Sutherland. The girls are in Juneau for the weekend with their father, Dr. Bob Sutherland, an orthodontist, who's helping us with some problems we have.
Any other introductions? Mr. Greening.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, we have three outstanding members of the dental profession from Anchorage. One of the members is also serves on the Citizens Advisory Council for the University of Alaska in Anchorage. That person is Daryl Kester. And his partner, Mike Sage, and Jerry Stranig.
Any other introductions? Does the clerk have messages from the governor?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I have a message from the governor on the veto of committee substitute for House Bill number 550, amended by the Senate. It's three pages long, and it's been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
No objection. We'll waive the reading. Messages on everybody's desk. The clerk have other messages?
No, Mr. Speaker.
The clerk have messages from the other house?
The Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill number 647, appropriating to the Office of the Governor Athletic Commission with an effective date, with the following amendment. Page 1, line 10. Change the sum of $98,300 to $75,000. And so, committee substitute for House Bill number 647, amended by the Senate, is transmitted herewith for consideration. The Senate has passed House Bill number 242, amended, relating to the rights of state employees, effective date, with the following amendment. Senate committee substitute for House Bill number 242, relating to dress codes and appearance standards of state employees, with an effective date. And so, Senate committee substitute for House Bill number 242 is transmitted herewith for consideration.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, to give the members of time, a little bit of time, as was requested before in another session, it'll be my intention to bring these up under unfinished business.
Clerk, have other messages?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have general communications.
A communication has been received from J.H. Hogan, Director of the Legislative Finance Division, with detailed instructions on how to operate the terminal for the legislative history system.
The instructions will have placed in the supplemental journal so that they'll remain available to all the members. So if there is no objection, then the communication will be placed in the supplemental journal. Does the clerk have other communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Commerce has had House Joint Resolution 51. Relating to an Arctic Country Mutual Interest Exchange Conference under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendments. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, concurred in by Bradley, Wallace, Kelly, Freeman, McKinnon, Rudd, and Fisher. A chairman's report will follow. House Joint Resolution number 51 has no further referral. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 570 relating to furnishing copies of credit reports under consideration. And three of the members of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendments. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, concurred in by Bradley, Rudd, and McKinnon. Having no recommendation, Wallace, Kelly, and Helen Fisher. Signing do not pass, Freeman. House Bill 570 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 593, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services, Division of Corrections, with an effective date, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 593 with the same title, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman, concurred in by Malone, Cooper, Haugen, Naughton, Itta, and Duncan. A chairman's report is attached. House Bill 593 has no further referral. The The Select Committee on Education has had House Bill 620, providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $10,011,300 for the purpose of paying the cost of rural school construction, repair, and improvements with an effective date under consideration. Four of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 620 with a new title and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Ostrowski, H. Byrne, Swanson, and Parr. Having no recommendation, Osterbach and Wallace. There is a chairman's report attached. House Bill 620 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 738, making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Law for miscellaneous court awards and providing for an effective date under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Parr, Bradley, Cotton, and Brown. House Bill 738 has a further referral to finance. The Select Committee on Education has had House Bill 788, making a special appropriation to the Department of Education to establish a center for the Alaska Rural Teacher Training Corps in the Alaska Peninsula, Aleutian Islands with an effective date under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Osterbach, Davis, Ostrowski, Swanson, Sullivan, H. Byrne, Wallace, and Parr. House Bill 788 has a further referral to finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of bills?
Sponsor substitute for House Bill number 399 by Eliason, an act creating the School Activities Association within the Department of Education and providing for an effective date.
Be referred to Commerce. Excuse me, Finance. Goes to finance. It's already been through one committee, and the bill is now residing in the finance committee.
We'll go straight again, Mr. Speaker.
It's
sponsor substitute for House Bill number 399.
399. We will be permitting sponsors substitutes as introductions for prior introduced bills. Does the clerk have other introductions?
House Bill number 836 by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to real estate branch offices.
Commerce.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr.
Brings
Speaker.
Us to the daily calendar. Will the clerk read the first item on the calendar?
House Bill number 589 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the election of municipal officials. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Bill 589 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Cotton, Freeman, Davis, Ostrowski, Rudd, and Hackney. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Speaker, in the absence of amendments, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 589 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, House Bill 589 is advanced from second to third reading, placed on final passage. Will the clerk read the bill for the third and final time?
House Bill number 589 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the election of municipal officials.
Bills before you for discussion and debate. Mr. Cotton.
I'll give a short rundown of what the bill does here. Basically, it changes the present provision whereby in a newly incorporated municipality, there has to be two elections, one for the question of incorporation and one later for the election of the officers.
Any other discussion? Representative
Mr. Speaker,
Fisher.
May I ask Mr. Cotton a question?
You may.
Sorry, I wasn't paying too much attention, but I could. Did you say this deletes the part where a city council can serve on the borough assembly?
any other discussion? Representative Burke. Somebody may respond. Mr. Cotton.
Yes, this issue was discussed, and there were a few problems arise that I'm not sure that everybody agreed that the two questions should be put together, but it was decided that perhaps when the proposition is put forth that an area incorporated, that the chance to see who might be the new officials would also be a helpful question. Allowing that determination. Mr. Burke may not agree that the two questions should be together, but I think the feeling of the committee was unanimous that would not only save money, but would also allow those persons to answer that question.
Question is, shall House Bill 589 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Thirty-two yeas, one nay, seven excused.
House Bill 589 has passed the House. Clerk, read the next item on the calendar.
Senate Bill number 541 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Administration Teachers Retirement System Match and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 541 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman. Am I coming across? Can you hear me? The report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Haugen, Naughton, Malone, Itta, Buchholz, and Duncan. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, first I'll ask if any members have their switches on. That could be causing part of the problem there. Just check and turn them off. Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 541 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There are no objections. Senate Bill 541 is advanced from second to third reading, placed on final passage. The clerk read the bill for the third and final time. For discussion. Passed the House. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
32 yeas, 1 nay, 7 excused.
Senate Bill 541 has passed the House. Brings us to the end of the daily calendar. Mr. Miller?
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on Senate Bill 541 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
No objections. So ordered. Brings us to the end of the calendar to unfinished business. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, earlier this morning, we heard a message from the Senate in which they passed two House bills and had suggested amendments. I'm advised by the prime movers of both bills that those amendments are acceptable. In the case of the athletic appropriation, it represents a small reduction in the amount, but I'm advised that it's not catastrophic. The other amendment is simply a change in the title of the bill, so it too is unimportant. Taking them separately, Mr. Speaker, I'll move that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 647.
Question is, should the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill number 647? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? The House concurs in the Senate amendments, and the clerk will so notify the Senate. We're going to have a roll call. Why? Let's try to get the... You may have the floor.
Probably the most thoroughly researched question in the statutes, and the conclusion has always been through various administrations of legislative affairs agency attorneys and attorneys general that the roll call is not constitutionally mandated on this issue. Of course, it's always available when the hands go in the air. Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous or not. I'll just move that this body concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 242.
Question is, should the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 242? Eight hands up. House will have a roll call. Question is, shall the House concur in the Senate amendments to Senate Bill 242? The body may proceed to vote. Has anybody failed to vote? The clerk may close the roll. Anybody wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll. Excuse me, Mr. Hirschberger. Clerk may take the roll.
Twenty-three yeas, 10 nays, 7 excused.
House has concurred in the Senate amendments, and the clerk has so notified the Senate. The process of voting on concurrences is a somewhat difficult one in concept, but it has been thoroughly researched, and in fact, it does not even require a majority of vote of the full body, and that often has caused people some concerns, but it's been very thoroughly legally, constitutionally, and parliamentary researched time and again. And the chair would point out, however, that situation could not occur in a unicameral body. Mr. Parker.
Mr. Speaker, this is sort of a slow morning, but let me ask, I'm rather baffled that I was the sponsor of the bill we just voted on. What was the objection by those who voted against the concurrence?
Mr. Parker, I would have to rule that somebody could discuss it under special orders, but the vote has been taken and the issue is now non-debatable. We are at unfinished business. If there's anything more under unfinished business, we can proceed on to special orders. Mr. Urien, under unfinished business? House, stand at ease. House, come back to order. We're under special orders. Is there anything to come before the House under special orders? Mr. Urien?
Well,
Do you have some unfinished business? We'll revert to unfinished business.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the reconsideration for committee to substitute for House Bill 510 for the body.
Brings the bill automatically before the House. The clerk read the bill in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 510 by the Resources Committee, an act relating to sale of land by Alaska State Housing Authority.
Bills before you in third reading for discussion debate. Mr. Urien.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for purpose of specific amendment.
Clerk, read the specific amendment.
Amendment number one by Mr. Urien. Page 2, line 10. After value, add, land sold under this provision shall be used for housing purposes subject to the terms and conditions which the authority may prescribe.
Objection has been noted. Mr. Urien, you have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, the language that I'm trying to put in back into the bill was and is in the original law. And it seems to me that it may be at times when it's in the public interest not only to dispose of surplus property and maybe put it on the tax rolls, but I think we should have the statutory authority to say what is done with that land. There may be times when we wish to say that this particular piece of land can be sold, but it should be used for a low-cost housing project or a home for the elderly or some such specific purpose. Or maybe they could just say, do whatever you want. But I think we should have some hold over, possible hold of what's done with the property once we sell it.
Clerk, reread the amendment.
Page 2, line 10. After value, add, land sold under this provision shall be used for housing purposes subject to the terms and conditions which the authority may...